We placed Ryan Harris on injured reserve and signed Herb Taylor to the roster. Hopeful everybody will be out there at practice today. Frank?
What
I didn't wear a sign today.
Since
but
now he's on IR.
Yeah.
Can you just give us an idea of what he went through and what was the decision-making process in terms of
when you say what he went through, what do you mean? In the injury?
I mean, it's been a lot of words. Dislocated toe, toes, et cetera. I mean, what was the core issue and why did it land him on IR?
His toe was too injured for him to be able to play without having a procedure. And so the we're gonna take care of that. And after that happens, the length of time that you would need to recover from that wouldn't make any sense for us to not make this move at this time on our roster.
Is it turf toe, like they described turf toe? Is that what it was?
Is a toe injury. keep asking.
Hindsight regrets about bringing him back?
No. He was fine. That had nothing to do. The previous injury was not. It's not the same injury. That has nothing to do with the new injury. So, it's the same toe, but it's not the same injury to the toe. So, it's kind of a fluke deal, and he was playing well until the time that it happened.
Can you talk about Tyler's play in recent weeks? I mean, obviously he hadn't played at all until he went in there for Ryan. Have you seen a progression?
I've seen a guy that has gained confidence, because obviously in this league, when you're playing in the games, that experience is more valuable than the experience that you gain in the off season and all the rest of it. So he knows what we're doing. He knows our system. He communicates well with the other players. He's playing beside good players. We think that we have a guy that's getting better each week, and he'll have a big challenge ahead of him this week.
You guys have had some problems with what do you guys have to do better as a no-huddle, especially facing a guy like me?
We're just going to get lined up and play our call. That's it. We're not going to try to run a bunch of guys in and out of the game. Nobody does against this team. We're not going to try to do it either. And you got to line up and play good football. And there's really no more simple answer than that. That's what we need to do, and that's what we're going to try to do.
You guys do like substitute.
We will not try to do something that's impossible to do, and that's impossible to do. When you don't have the right time, if the ball hasn't been thrown down the field 40 yards, if there's not a, timeout on the field, you don't try to do that and disrupt the entire flow of your game by allowing him to create, situations where you have to call timeouts or you get 5-yard penalties that keep the drive going and all the rest of it. So we're going to play with the guys that are out there, and when we feel like we can substitute without issue, then we'll substitute if we need to. If we don't need to substitute, then we're just going to play.
Larry Coyer used to be the coordinator. Do you see any influence on the Colts defense since he's been there this year?
I do. I would say it's mostly the same philosophy, but you can tell that he's added some a few different things that they haven't done really a lot of in the past. I'm not saying that has taken over what they do. It certainly hasn't. They're still the base things that they do. They're fairly simple in terms of the amount of volume of calls that they use, but they play faster than every team in the league. That's everybody on this defense is fast. The front is fast. They play fast. They stunt fast. They blitz fast. They cover fast. Everything that they do is about speed, and that hasn't changed. He's added a few blitz zones and some different coverage wrinkles here and there, but, I mean, they're playing as well as anybody in football on defense, and they create a lot of turnovers, do a great job of stopping people in the red zone and on the goal line, and Larry's doing a great job with them.
When you talk about speed, not usually, but a lot of times you sacrifice size to have that speed. Why haven't teams been able to just run it down their throats or bash it at them to take advantage of maybe a lack of size?
Is there's a quarterback on the other sideline that usually puts them ahead and I said the other day it's the best complementary football team in the NFL, and it is. And they play to each other. The offense tries to get out in front. The defense rushes the passer and creates turnovers to give the ball back to the offense, who scores more points, and then you're behind by 14 or 21 points. And then if you hand a ball off three times in a row, you get booed. So, you know, no, I know. Well, they'll probably, I don't know. But anyway, first of all, let me say this. They're not a bad run defense. If you could run the ball 40 times against them, that isn't going to be easy. Because again, the way they stop the run is not the same way that we would stop the run necessarily, or some other team stop the run. They stunt and create disruption by picking people off or making two of your guys block one of their guys so that one of their fast players is free to the football. That's what they do. And there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and they do it a different way than some teams do, but they're really, really good at it and very effective. Everybody knows their job. They're extremely unselfish when they play run defense, because there's a lot of people in that front that know that, all right, I know I'm not going to make the tackle on this play, but I'm going to go run in there and I'm going to take the guard and the center out, and now somebody else is going to make the tackle behind me, and they have great trust and faith in their players.
What separates Peyton Manning from the rest of the pack if he is a number one? I mean, you work with a great quarterback yourself. What makes him better than the rest?
You can't and I don't know where he stands in that. I'm not sure. Judging him or saying, I know he's one of the greatest of all time, and he's a, you know, he's unbelievable to prepare for. You can't beat him with a play call. You can't, you know, you make the right call against some teams, and sometimes you have a better call than the other quarterback's coordinator made on their sideline. And hooray for you, and you won one. You know, with this guy, you know, if he sees something or you show him something too early, you know, it doesn't make any difference what the guy on the sideline called. He's going to make sure that he changes it to something that's going to hurt you. And when he makes a decision to do that, usually it ends up in a big play. There's a difference between him and everybody else, because when some other teams try to get out of a bad play and into a play that's a decent play, he tries to get out of a bad play and score a touchdown. And I would say that he's an aggressive quarterback that gets rid of the football before you can get there most of the time. I mean, they've only had 10 sacks this year, and he's a great part of that. You know, their offensive line does a great job, but he does a great job too, and he attacks you at your very weakest point in every coverage, and that's what makes him so good.
Talk about him attacking weaknesses in coverage.
Yep.
And we've seen in playoff games there before. You guys don't really, I mean, is that the strength of your secondary, is that you don't have a weakness? You know, you're not out of position very much, not a lot of young guys. Does that help against a guy like Manning that you have?
I think when you play with a veteran secondary against him, that can help you. Certainly we have to play well. I mean, the bottom line is it, you know, when Reggie Wayne's out there, it doesn't make any difference who's on him. They're going to throw it to him. You know, you're not going to put, you know, one guy out there on Reggie Wayne and say, okay, he won't throw it to Reggie today. He's a great player. You know, the two young kids that they have that are playing a lot, Colley and Garcon, I don't know that I could imagine two young players coming into the league and then adapting to a difficult system and being able to work in pressure situations with a guy like Peyton Manning as well as those two have. I mean, it's remarkable what they've been able to do with those two kids, and they're only going to get better. Clark's incredibly difficult to defend. So you can try to take away some things, but ultimately, like I just said, he's going to throw it to the guy that you didn't take away. And you better be on him. You better be on him tight. And you better try to get a pass rush on him, because if you sit there and give him too much time and let him see what the coverage is, he's going to throw it to the right place.
Antonio Gates or Tony Gonzalez, you kind of think of the prototype of a tight end, size and then the basketball skills. How does Clark, you know he's not, when you look at him, it doesn't seem like a prototypical tight end. How does he hurt you?
Great hands. I would say as good of a route runner as most of those other guys you mentioned. He's one of those guys that he has a knack for getting open, and he can do things with his body, and he has great body control when he runs routes. He can sell things and then do something different off of it. And the thing about all their receivers, including Clark, is they don't need much space. You know, I mean, if he's from me to the microphone open, the ball's going to be here and he's going to catch it because he's got great hands and he's got a good quarterback throwing him the ball. So you just got to try to, like I said, they've got so many weapons. You can't double team everybody. You know, we've got good players on defense and we've got to play good defense.
You guys are moving inside today.
Say it again.
You guys are moving inside today. It's part of that because you guys are playing indoors. It's sunny.
Yeah, it's sunny. It's 0 degrees, and we are playing indoors. So, yeah.
Josh, this time.
You praise them profusely this week and deservedly so in a lot of ways. What does it take for your team or any other team, for that matter, to, what's the formula to beat these guys? What does anybody have to do?
Well, I think there's been a lot of teams that have played them tough, and there's been a lot of close. I mean, they've won 7 games under a touchdown this year, which tells you that they execute in those pressure situations and have executed in those pressure situations better than their opponents have. And I think that it's not out of the question for you or any other team to be close and to be in the game in the second half or to be ahead in the second half. You can't play 56 minutes. If you play 56 good minutes, you might have a smile on your face and you're going to lose. You know, if you play 58 good minutes, it might be the same situation. You've got to play 60 minutes or longer if it takes longer. And you've got to continue to come back to the sideline and say, all right, what are we going to do the next series? And go out there and play good again. And you've got to battle them and you've got to play really, really good football down in the red zone, third down, 2 minute, because that's where a lot of their games have been decided in those crucial situations at the end of the game. And they've made more plays than their opponents have, and that's why they've won 12 in a row and 21 straight in the regular season. So if you can take care of the football and you can play your best football down there, when it matters the most, you've got a chance to be in the game and then to win the game.